This is Rakovic After Hours.
Hello! A welcome back is due to you and I to Rack Addicts After Hours, a music and technology podcast. My name is Ben, I'm here with Pete. We must begin. Firstly, Pete, what have you been doing the past some days that I haven't been here and you haven't been here and nobody's been anywhere and all sorts?
I'm having a little bit of a sell-off in the modular department.
Explain, please.
Well, nothing too major, but I've decided to get rid of all my tip-top audio drum voices.
That is quite a few.
Yes. I have no real need for them.
Indeed.
And, I mean, they're very authentic in the respect of emulating either 808 or 909, but I've got so many other things that will do exactly the same thing. And, to be honest, somewhat better in some cases.
The Queen of Pentacles being the most recent?
Yes, and I've also got the Erica Synth sample drum, which is obviously utilising it in a different way, complete loops rather than one-shots and things like that. Yeah, a bit of a, not a fire sale per se, but I'm going to get, and I'm also dealing with lots of modules that Mark is getting rid of as well.
Oh yeah.
Hence the big tub of modules behind you.
Indeed. And I see some 19-inch rack mount gear, whatever that might be.
We've already got rid of a number of things, so a Strymon Big Sky went.
Whose was that?
That was Mark.
How dare
he? He's got the Eurorack version, the name of which escapes me at this current time.
There's a Strymon Eurorack reverb?
Yes.
What? How did I miss this?
I thought we'd covered it on one of the previous episodes.
Maybe we did, but my memory is famously terrible.
Okay. Anyway, and he's also got the plugin.
There's plugins now. Look at me being terrible at keeping up with music technology news. So they do. Well, I think it might be the sort of roughly an equivalent of the Night Sky, maybe, just based on the colour. It's called Star Lab.
Yes, but it's that lighter blue, isn't it? It's not the dark blue, I seem to remember.
It's not the blue I was expecting for a Big Sky, though.
Anyway, it's got the Big Sky algorithms in there somewhere. Yeah. And obviously the plugin is just exactly the same as the Big Sky without the physicality.
Yeah.
So for him, there wasn't really much point in keeping it. So that
makes sense.
And
still very desirable, those, even though they've been around for a good while.
And also an original PAMS went. I think he's got a new PAMS to go because he wants to get a pro. Who doesn't? So that's pretty much it, apart from the fact that I've got all the parts, the components to build a third Scarab case.
Oh my.
Yes.
What's the plan with this one?
Well, I think the plan is that I will build it and transfer the modules from the original case and maybe sell the original case.
Why?
Well, there were some design changes I made with the second Scarab.
It's Scarab Revision 2, is it?
Yes, so this will be revision 3, although they look, on first glance, they look identical.
But only to you, you'll know them.
Well, it's the subtleties, the power supplies and things like that. That's the main differences. So I just like building the things.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I thought, let's build one and see if we can sell it and see what we can do in the respect of trying to get a bit of profit on it.
Yeah, why not?
Anyway, apart from that, that's really it.
Good stuff. Well, I'm fresh from the sunny lands of California. It was quite nice to get the last bit of sunshine over there and then be greeted by a rainstorm. As soon as I arrived back home. That was mostly food. I think that's all we kind of did. We ate. So typical American fashion, we ate a lot of things, including In-N-Out, which I think is a California-only fast food burgery thing. Good fun. Most interestingly, potentially for our audience, is I did 3 rolls of film photography while I was there. CineStill 400D, Gold 200, and Kentmere Pan 400. That Kentmere roll was really annoying because I was desperate for some HP5, short notice for a Q121 visit, and obviously nowhere online could get anything to me. So I went to the local place, the only local place that I know of that sells film. That's all he had for black and white. I think Kentmere is a sub-brand of Ilford, and I think online you can get HP5 for about £6 for a 36 exposure roll. This was £10 for a worse film for 24 exposures. Bit of a rip-off, but I finally used it.
Were you not able to pick up some film in the States?
Oh, this was just a roll that I'd picked up ages ago, but I brought it with me and it's finally been used.
But I have to say, that's normally my stance when I go to the States. I just eat 5 square meals a day.
Yeah, I mean, there's something different about it. I don't know why. I mean, A, it's cheaper. You get unreasonable portions and a lot of it's just weird and fun. Like we went out for kind of a brunchy breakfast thing in like a typical diner style situation. Everybody's getting their pancakes and waffles. And I had a chicken fried steak on a thin waffle.
Mm.
Just because why not? It's excessive and weird. It's
yes.
Quite nice.
I do like my pancakes and syrup.
Yeah, not for me. I'm always a savoury breakfast man, but you would have loved it. You know, stacks, inches tall.
Yes, great. Especially with sausages.
Ah, no, that's a good combo, actually. I can get behind that.
Quite like the sweet and savoury together. It's a magic. Not so keen on the crispy bacon.
My partner was definitely swayed by the crispy bacon and pancake option.
But the links, I like the links.
Nice one. That was good fun. We were in La Jolla, south of San Diego, and went to Mexican Old Town. There's a restaurant that we go to a lot. I say a lot. We went to a lot when we went there as a family, more often, called Pacifica, which is a great seafood place. That was wonderful. And I decided, going back to film photography again, I didn't want to bring everything back and get it developed here because of the new TSA Ultra scanners that would probably wreck it all. So I actually sent it off to a film lab in LA while I was there, which meant I had to deal with a job's worth in a USPS postal office. You're not allowed to write UK if you're sending things overseas. It has to be United Kingdom.
Okay.
Otherwise they get confused. And it was an ordeal, but we got it done. And I've seen by the tracking it's been delivered, so we should be fine. I shall report back on the results.
So when you say tracking, has it come back to you yet, or it has?
This was just the outbound shipping of the film from La Jolla to LA. That's arrived with the film lab people.
And so what will you receive back from this lab?
I believe it'll be a Dropbox link, and I said, do not return the negatives, because I don't want to spend the money on the international shipping.
Fair enough. Okay, so yeah, they're just going to convert them to digital files.
Exactly. I might have mentioned before that I do now have the equipment to scan my own, so I could have gone for a develop-only somewhere, but I did it once and it was the most miserable experience ever, so I'm not going to scan my own again.
Fair enough.
Upon my return to the office, I had to do a voiceover, and it only took that short week of holiday to realise that it really does disappear if you don't use it.
Oh yes, I'm struggling now.
Yeah, it was a disaster. I don't know. I had to do so many takes. It was disappointing, but I think I'm back into the swing of it a little bit. On that note, I have developed a new system when I'm recording boring technical voiceovers at work, which is record with Logic open and the script sort of visible, and then I'll press record. Well, I'll breathe in, press record, say my line, wait a little bit, press stop, and then I can quickly undo that recording if I messed up the line. But this way I have a single track with loads of different regions, no rubbish edits to remove when I come back to editing it. And what I end up doing is I press play and shuffle all the regions to where I think they are, or where I think they need to be visually, so I can kind of edit in front of the playhead, and I can edit my voiceovers together only a little bit slower than it would just take to listen to the whole voiceover, which I'm quite pleased with. Works all right.
I mean, there are a whole range of techniques you can use in the editing process that really do speed it up.
Yeah, doing it all afterwards was pretty rubbish, my old method.
Well, I've gone from the 3 days of editing, not all day obviously, to just one day now, so I've shrunk the process, and if I can shrink it a bit more, I'm going to be a happy man.
Definitely still need to keep an eye on those AI tools. At some point one's gonna turn up, I'm sure.
I'm sure there's most probably one now, but I haven't really dug any deeper with that. I've kind of gone off the scent a bit with AI. Been distracted by other things.
I mean, it's all happening so many times in many places at much speed. That was a great English sentence, wasn't it?
Yes.
It's all going fast, like, in it. Right. One more bit of weak stuff. Amazing. Yeah, it is. I have lost it. It's all going wrong. One more nugget of weekly updatage. The audio from Test Chamber Stage 3 is off to the mastering place.
Oh.
Oh my. Oh my. I've just got to go home and format everybody's comments, send those over, and it'll happen. In doing so, when I was setting up the Google Drive link, I thought I'd better check that the files I was sending were the 32-bit floating point ones that I wanted them to be. The only way I had of doing this quickly was just chucking them all into iZotope RX9, and I noticed that some had very distinctive spectrograph rough traces, or whatever you want to call them, which was quite interesting. So I took screenshots of six of them and chucked them on the Discord for a bit of a quiz. I'll be really impressed if you can get these. Guess who it was just from the spectrograph. And yeah, everybody got them very quickly. I was really impressed with our mod caffers, but let me show some of them to you. Just for your interest, Pete, this one...
That's quite... there's something going on at the beginning.
Yeah, it's fairly normal, and you got a little bit at the beginning, but that was... He had a sort of sign sweep at the start. This was John Christian's one.
Okay.
Some sort of musical sign sweepy bits before it gets into the main track, which, yeah, looks pretty cool. Never seen them in a spectrograph before, so that was fun.
Could almost print them up into posters and start offering them out.
Yeah, well, John said he wanted his on a T-shirt, so we might have to get him a high-resolution option at some point. This one, I think possibly the weirdest looking, is Akira's, and because it's so varied in its timbres, textures, timings, and all that kind of stuff, it's wild.
God, it's all over the place.
Absolutely. What you wouldn't get from this particular image is that the stereo effect is amazing. But you'd have to zoom in to see that on the spectrograph. Super cool. Now, it's time for some synth news, and there's some quite interesting and exciting ones, and I think I'll save my favourite for last. So, a small module that you might be interested in, I think you've got one of these, Pete. There is now an expander for the Instruo and DivKid Oct.
Oh.
Have you seen this one?
No.
Cool, so it's another 4HP, so it kind of doubles the width, but it gives you some cool stuff. So, 16 additional outputs with 4 full-wave rectified positive LFOs, so you don't have your positive and negative voltages, just positive voltages there. What shape are they? Triangle still? I think the original is all triangle, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't really put a scope on it, so I don't know.
You then have 2 analog logic pairs, which are AND/MIN and OR/MAX. For some interesting complex modulations. I won't pretend I really understand how logic works, having never really played with it much. You then have 4 cascading stochastic trigger signals for a rhythmic option. And finally, 4 4-bit logic random voltage source somethings. I don't really know what this means. It says 4 R2R 4-bit logic random voltage sources.
So how many
slow noise
physical outputs? I'm counting
16.
Yeah, I was saying there's a lot of outputs.
Yeah,
4HP. How do they manage to get?
Well, it's kind of the maximum amount of 3.5mm jacks you could possibly squish in.
Okay, so there's no controllers. It's just outputs.
Exactly. So I think it'll all respond to the same rate that you have on the main module, and that's kind of it.
I want one.
I thought you would, but no, I think that gives you a lot of extra mileage. That's really cool.
How much?
Place your bets because I don't actually know. Yet.
I'm thinking if as it's expander, 80 quid?
99.
Oh.
Not too bad.
Okay.
So that's super cool. Here is something super cool for your ears, and I think it is possible you'll guess what brand this is made by. It's also possible that you could guess wrong, because I know where I'd be guessing and it's not it.
Yeah, I was sort of... I don't know why I was thinking something Bastille or Erica synth.
Neither of the above.
Yeah.
Here's some solo stuff. That was a trio of 4 of the thing.
It's very glitchy, isn't it?
Verb not included. There we are. My guess, I think, would have been noise engineering. But no, Game Changer Audio with a new Plasma product, the Plasma Voice. First audio example there was actually 4 of them doing some things. And it's pretty interesting looking. Plasma tube at the top, of course.
Yeah, it looks expensive.
I don't actually know. I'll tell you in a bit. But you've got, how many is it? 7 banks of sort of starting sound character, if you like. That'll be bass, lead, pluck, drum, metal, static, and spark. And you can then use the controls to modify from that kind of bass sound. I don't know what really makes these banks different from each other, because this isn't a digital kind of model it's loading up or anything. It's doing something different with the plasma tube, I believe. So we do have a little explanation of it, and let's see if either of us can understand it. The electric discharges are driven by a proprietary ultrasound pulse width oscillator, The oscillator is modulated by predefined samples and envelope shapes, or sounds for simplicity's sake, that you can select. Trigger, wave shape, and modulate with sliders and CV inputs. This puts you in the control of the electrical discharges and the resulting sounds. So there is something digital at the back end there. That's kind of cool. Though a little bit more of a, the way it works, I guess, it's a bit more of an effect on top of something else than an actual voice from the plasma.
Yeah, you're using it as a medium.
So the analog half is soft clipping drive circuit. There's a bass and treble EQ section, an analog filter, 12 decibels per octave, analog VCA on the output, and actually you have digital control over the VCF and the VCA. You then have controls over pitch, time, mod, harmonics, flux, which is an electric artifact effect, and the filter with attenuverters and CV inputs. So it looks pretty interesting, but I want to hear what somebody else comes up with, because that was just the Game Changer audio demo. Finally, the big one. I mentioned noise engineering earlier. There's some noise engineering news, and all of our favourite doomed oscillators have risen again in a digital teensy-powered form. I assume it's Teensy or like Daisy, one of those platforms. Given that they made plugins a while ago, it's kind of no surprise that they could recreate them like this. But they've done the same thing that they've done with their effect module that I cannot remember the name of. But this is a single hardware platform and you can swap out the voices. So there's three options: Bezimulus Iteritas Alter. It's not what it's called, but Bezimulus Iteritas Alter is back, as is Manis Iteritas. And there's a new one called Delbel Iteritas. And the platform is called Alia, or Alia. And I've seen Alia come up in quite a few places in the synth world. The other place being Ouroboros Electronics. They have one called Alia. And I wondered what it meant. The only clues I have are the suffix that you can use in kind of science. Realm of marine animal life, apparently. It is a name derived from Arabic, which means high or exalted, and in Latin it means by another / different way / route. So I'm not getting anywhere with that. Either way...
Well, it's got to be the Latin.
Probably the Latin one, yeah. Makes sense. By another route or something, you know.
Yeah.
They've brought them to life another way. So, of course, you can buy one module and swap out the different voices, which is super cool. They are $385 on Noise Engineering's website, which is pretty similar to what they were before.
How quickly can you change the voices?
I don't think it's going to be that quick, because like the digital effects, it's a USB thing on the back and a like plug-in, which is annoying.
Oh dear. I'd hoped it would be something like an SD card so that you could...
Yeah, it's a bit annoying. Because there's quite a few modules that have alternate firmwares and modes and things that have inconvenient switchings, which kind of ruin the experience. So the three panels that are available are for Debel Iteritas, Bezimulus Iteritas, and Manis Iteritas. So if, like me, you're a fan of Manis, you can also have Smash, Bash, and Profundity controls once again. So yeah, it's a USB cable connected around the back, which you then load up the Noise Engineering customer portal on your computer. You could probably do something like the new Instro modules have, where they bring the USB round to the front panel, if you were planning on swapping this out quite a lot. Ooh, looks like they're planning silver faceplates as well, but at the moment, just the black available. So there we are. They return, and I'm happy about it. So ends the news. And we must, of course, move on to our miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. I'm going to go first because it is a tune, a simple one, and it lets me remind you that if you go to tinyurl.com/rackaddicts, you can find the Rack Addicts After Hours Tunes playlist, which this song now resides in. It is a new single from Everything Everything, and it is called Cold Reactor, and it's back to the usual Everything Everything formula. They released an album not too long ago, which was rubbish, and I couldn't get into it, and I tried, and it was just bad. But the new single's great. Cold Reactor, Everything Everything. Pete, what have you got for us?
Right, this week I've got a fantastic YouTube channel that I only just came across this week, and you're going to love it.
Ooh, I'm getting my YouTube ready.
Right, this one is called Stuff Made Here. You already know
it. I do know Stuff Made Here. Oh, man. What What a channel.
Yes. What caught my eye was the last video that was posted. And basically, it's titled, I Made Six Absurd Pencil Sharpeners.
It was a good one.
And have you seen this one?
I haven't watched the whole way through yet, because it was quite long and I wanted to savour it.
Yes. So this particular gentleman, who is quite the engineer and does some very strange, I suppose you want to call them experiments, and he seems to have access to some fantastic engineering equipment, lathes, milling machines and so forth, but also water cutters.
It's mad, the equipment he's also got.
Yeah, it's just, and his engineering skill.
Yeah, I mean, he goes into, like, obviously he's a nerd and he loves the gear. Like, he's got the 3D printers, not only resin stuff, but he's got, you know, the powder ones. He can 3D print metal at his house. But yeah, you're right. It's when he explains how he did things, and you can see obviously his incredible design and engineering skills. But then I think it was one where he was making that puzzle-solving machine, like as in jigsaw puzzle-solving thing, and he was going into, you know, how he's coding stuff, and you just... Because he's quite a young guy.
Yeah.
And how on earth has he packed so much stuff into his brain?
Well, I can tell you.
Oh, do you actually know? I haven't looked into it.
Basically, he started when his father introduced him to plastic modelling and soldering at the age of four.
Four. Amazing.
But yes, and he's certainly a nerd.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
But he's really cool. Nerd.
Yeah, I really enjoy it when his wife gets involved and is just kind of deadpan, unimpressed by everything he does. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think that's part of the performance though, isn't it? But I'll read some of the other titles just to whet our audience appetite. So I sent robot forgeries to a handwriting expert. That was a quite interesting one. Mm. I actually watched that one today. World's hardest jigsaw versus puzzle machine.
Yeah, that's the most recent one I watched.
So did he get a robot to do it? He normally does. Just...
Well, he basically built a kind of gantry that you'd have on like a CNC anything 2D, like a plasma cutter or a laser cutter, and then built kind of the arm to scan and move pieces around, and solved a lot of problems.
It's definitely a very successful channel. I'm just looking at some of the previous videos posted and looking at 11 million views, 6.2 million views, 7.6 million views, although he doesn't post that frequently.
I'm glad it works out for him.
Yes. Well, I'm assuming it does. He seemed to have plenty of money to buy this kit, but I'm sure he must do some other kind of engineering work to supplement.
Yeah, and I imagine he must have had quite a rapid rising career as well to develop all his knowledge and industry contacts, I think, is how he's got some of those incredible machines.
Yes, but he's also got 4.37 million subscribers, so that goes a long way to help.
One of my favourite YouTube crossovers actually happened on this channel, which was with the Lockpicking Lawyer.
Okay.
Did you watch that one? Or have you watched Lockpicking Lawyer
sometimes? Yeah, I'm familiar with that channel.
Yeah, so he designed two unpickable locks, sent them to Lockpicking Lawyer, and spoiler alert, he opened them incredibly quickly. But it was really interesting seeing the knowledge and experience with a really specific kind of product like Lockpicking Lawyer has, and then the supreme engineering brain that went into designing them. It was a really cool interplay between those two channels.
Yes. So basically, that is my multimedia recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel Stuff Made Here.
Wonderful. It's good to be back. And stay tuned for more Modular Cafe updatings. I'm sure there will be a certain highlights video coming soon. I'm looking at you, Ian. But thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next one. Farewell!